In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Hour number two is upon us. Dan Ferris joining us now, and he is the editor of The Extreme Value, a monthly investment advisory that focuses on some of the safest and yet most profitable stocks in the market. Dan, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, John. It's good to be here.
No, I appreciate you joining us. And the topic that I had for you today is what financial news is real? There is so much coming our way that we're bombarded with that how does anybody know what's real?
I think asking the question is probably the most important part of it. And this sort of discussion started with me about a week or so ago. Within a 24-hour period, I saw two news stories. One of them said the market was predicting a blue wave victory in the election. The other one said the market was skeptical of a blue wave victory in the election. And I'm pretty sure that nothing in the actual business world changed that much in that period of time. And, you know, Nassim Taleb used to say, if you want to find out how bad the news is, just read it a week late. Well, with a 24-hour news cycle, you know, you read it 24 hours late and you realize how worthless it was what you read 24 hours before. So, we got a little problem here as investors, don't we?
Yeah, it makes it really difficult. And the other thing that we're seeing on a constant basis too, Dan, is just, you know, where is the honesty even when it comes to certain companies and are being honest in their financials, and I realize it's against the law if they're not, yet we see that happening as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one thing to say that the presentation in the financials is heavily regulated and that somehow protects investors, but it's another to guarantee that they're never going to lie. I mean, I think I read once I did read once in Howard Schillett's classic book, Financial Shenanigans, most of the fraud happens at the top line, right? So right away, reporting the revenues, you know, is a huge problem.
Right. No, very, very well said. No, that's exactly right. And again, you watch this and know way more about this than I would ever do. That's what you do with, you know, editor of Extreme Value. That's what you do on a regular basis. You guys know this stuff, you know, backwards, forwards. Where do you see us headed? And I know nobody can predict what's going to happen here in a couple of weeks, but, you know, give us your best shot at what you think will happen and or how the markets will react one way or the other.
Couple of things, John. I think elections, we've established that elections are tradable, but they're not really investable. You know, during a Democratic administration, historically, the market has outperformed just a little bit versus during Republican administration. But overall, it's really, it's not investable long term,
gotcha.
So you can ignore it in that way.
Okay,
that's the first thing. Second thing, for example, other assets outside of equities like Bitcoin lately, I feel like it's telling us a little something. You know, it's pushing up. It was below 10,000 not too long ago, and now it looks like we could hit 13,000 this week. And I think that's the market saying, you know, something. No matter who gets elected, they've got to borrow and print more. That's all there is to it. They simply cannot avoid it. And, of course, Bitcoin is a much harder currency than any fiat currency, and people are starting to figure that out now. There are other things, too. For example, if we get a push downward in equities into the election, well, that's probably going to be buy the rumor, sell the news kind of a thing, where the uncertainty will be solved on election day, and then the market won't care anymore. You know, that's a typical.
Well, and the one thing I also know about the market, and had arguments literally on this program with certain individuals that, you know, I don't necessarily always agree with their take on certain things. And one thing I've learned, though, through the years of doing this program, Dan, is that the market and especially, you know, Wall Street, they don't like change in general. They like to see things static quo. They also don't care how much, at least I don't see this happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but they don't care how much of a debt load we carry as a country. In fact, they'd rather see that money printed and shoved back into the markets because they all benefit from it. They don't really care that our grandkids have to write that check.
Exactly. And what a coincidence that the modern monetary theory is starting to get a lot of traction. And people are writing books about it and talking about it. And it really is not a new idea at all. It's just currency debasement, another name and a complicated academic justification. Hmm. And that's what we're looking at.
Gotcha. You know, okay, so when it comes to... Go ahead. I'll let you finish. Sorry, Dan, didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No. I'm just saying the last refuge of central banks and governments is always debasing the currency. They just don't have any other tool left.
Right. That's right. Well said. Okay, so when it comes to, you know, our listeners, folks that are out there, you know, trying to figure out what do they do next, and I know you guys have some great resources they can go to. Yeah, and by the way, real quick, what's your website? How can folks find you?
The best place to find me is at our podcast website, investorhour.com.
Okay.
And then you can find me any other place from there.
Okay,
investorhour.com. Perfect.
Okay, so when it comes to things that folks are looking at, you know, maybe they've got some investments, maybe they're looking to make some investments, you know, where do you see things along the lines of what we just talked about a moment ago? You know, where are some of the things folks should look when it comes to, you know, good investments and what should they look at down the road that will survive no matter what happens on November 3rd?
Here's what I'm doing. You have to be, you can't base your investment thesis on your ability to predict anything. Okay, so what I'm advocating is what I call real diversification, true diversification. If you just own a bunch of stocks and bonds, you're not truly diversified.
True.
Because you're all within the currency regime. You're
true.
All within the financial system, right?
True.
So don't sell them all and head for the hills, but diversify. Hold some cash. Hold some gold and silver, and hold a little Bitcoin. I mean, a 1% position in Bitcoin, if I'm right about it, it's got enormous upside, and if you just take that 1%, that's your maximum risk. So those are your basic, to me, that's the basic representation of true diversification, and it could include assets and probably should include assets that get you outside the financial system that you understand well. Investing is personal. I know a guy who put money into whiskey in casks in warehouses in Scotland because he learned all about it. I know another guy who told me his retirement was in Gibson Les Paul and Fender Stratocaster guitars. So, you know, that kind of a thing. What do you know about?
Yeah, no, and by the way, and I don't say that I can disagree with that. I personally am a guy that I don't have a ton of money in the market. I'm a real estate guy. I've got commercial properties. And I'm a guy that believes in that. It's something I understand, to your point a moment ago. I understand. I understand the market. I understand how the tenant aspect of things works. I understand how to manage all of that. So for me, that's been something that's worked very well for me. But I also understand not everyone can do that.
Exactly. Right? So then the question is, well, what can I do? You know, do you want to learn about collectible coins or any of those other things I just named or whatever it is? You probably know something that you're not even aware is an avenue to some kind of an investment or asset that gets you outside the financial system.
What about some of the stocks that, you know, we consider to be sort of those staples, the, you know, call them whatever you want to, but the Amazons, the Apples of the world and so on, are they still a safe place to put some money?
Well, the FANG stocks, the Amazons and Apples and Facebook and those, I think they're overdone, and I think it's a mistake, and I think investors lack imagination if they can't imagine losing money on these things. Right, they're touted as the greatest businesses in the world, and I wouldn't even argue that that's wrong. But when everybody knows it, it's a worthless piece of information.
Right, right.
And the valuation gets too stretched.
Okay, one other question for you, which is a big deal to me. I'm a car guy as well, and I do like some of the things that Elon Musk has done. I'm not going to take anything away from them. The guy's got a mind like no tomorrow. He's a very, you know, innovative individual. But when it comes to his particular car manufacturing company and where it stands in line with all of the other manufacturers that are out there, frankly, Dan, there's no comparison, and yet his stock outperforms everybody else in the market when it comes to car manufacturers, and that one I just don't understand.
Well, put me in the same boat with you, because I don't get it either. I don't get how, you know, Toyota makes like 20 times more cars and
100 times more cars, probably.
Yeah, and Tesla has, well, yeah, it's like 10 million versus about 400,000. And how does Tesla get a bigger market cap? And you know, Toyota does this other crazy thing, John. It's called making a profit.
Exactly. Yeah, imagine that. They've actually got a bottom line.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that one, Dan, just shows how, I'll just say what it is, how flaky Wall Street can be sometimes, and how some of these individuals there look at things. And frankly, Dan, I'm not sure some of them have the common sense God gave an ant, because I look at things completely different than they do.
You just said it right. You look at things completely different from they do. They are working off a totally different set of incentives, and the incentives are not to pick great investments for you and me.
Perfect. All right. Dan, again, what's that podcast? How do folks find you?
InvestorHour.com. InvestorHour.com.
Perfect. Yeah. Dan, I appreciate it. You're welcome anytime, by the way. I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, John. I really enjoyed being here.
Very welcome. Thanks. Have a great week, and I appreciate it. Dan Ferris, again, he is with Stanberry Investors, and he's got a one-hour podcast that he does on the topics we just mentioned. Mighty Hand Construction, folks, is coming up next, and they want to help you with all of your, whether it's remodel, kitchen, bath, roof, windows, siding, an outbuilding, whatever it happens to be. Just remember, Northern Colorado. If you're in the Castle Rock, Colorado Springs area, they're not going to come all the way down to you. They got more than enough business up north. But here's the thing. They will help you in Northern Colorado. They are our go-to guys up there. Go to klzradio.com, 970-844-9191.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof, but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in Northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable interest mortgage is next, and if you want a way to pay for some of those things we just talked about with Mighty Hand Construction, give Kurt Rogers a call today, and he'll help you. 720-895-0500. Again, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever, and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important. Your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So we also had another guest, by the way, somebody called in on the question of the day, which was, hang on, let me scroll back up and find that. It is 96%, or sorry, 20 years ago. Make sure I do this one correctly. Today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 20 years ago today, there were three times as many of these in the Inland Empire, that's Southern California, than there are now. Somebody guessed orange groves or drive-in theaters. By the way, good guesses. You can continue to guess on the KLZ 560 Facebook page as well. By the way, lines are open. You want to call in and chat, 303-477-5600. And something I was going to get to earlier in the day that I didn't get a chance to is something that's COVID-related that I would like to play. Now, before I play this, let me set this up a little bit. This is, and I really don't care whether this particular restaurant owner is Jewish-owned or not, really, to me, has nothing to do with it. But there was a store, a restaurant. Let me make sure I say this correctly. There's a restaurant in New York City that is supposedly in an area where it's only supposed to be a takeout-only restaurant. And in this particular case, the operator opened the door of the restaurant to let some fresh air in, or fresh air out, however you want to say it, but ended up with a summons because of the door being open at the restaurant. Folks, let me tell you what, wherever your stance is on COVID, this is tyranny at its best. It's ridiculous that we have got government officials running around telling people whether they can have their door open or not in a restaurant. I've got a clip of this. Actually, the recording that the store owner actually put up on Twitter, it's a minute 21. Let me get my volume level up where it needs to be here, and here we go.
Because my doors are open, I want to understand. Look, if you don't want to, you don't need to sign it. I know you're recording me.
That's fine. I'm allowed to record you.
I'm going to give you a copy, and then...
You're giving me a ticket because my doors are open, sir?
The charge is called out here.
There's nobody sitting in the restaurant. Everything is okay.
And by the way, real quick, to this restauranteur's point, there's no one else in the restaurant except him. There's not even employees in here, and this New York City inspector is in his store writing him a 2-page summons for having his door open. I'll continue.
Because my doors are open? What if my store is hot? I'm not allowed to open the door because the store is hot?
How do you spell that in the summons? I'm going to give you a copy, and I'm going to leave.
Can I have your name, please? Is it on the report?
Yes.
But it's not fair that only because my doors are open and I'm getting a violation. You know, I'm struggling here every single day. It's hard for me. And
I'm going to stop there for a moment as well. Of course it's hard for him. These blue mayors and governors have got things locked down to the point to where that's an industry that I don't know how anybody is making any money. Nonetheless, even surviving. And in this particular case, when they're not even allowing him to have the door open and he's getting a summons, which he now is going to have to either deal with, take time and or pay, or all of the above, how is this helping their businesses in this particular setting? And the reality, folks, is it's not. And I don't like to compare things to Nazi Germany because I'm not sure that's always a good comparison. But when we've got New York City, in this case, probably a health inspector running around writing a summons because the door is open to a restaurant, folks, that is like Nazi Germany. It really is. And yes, I will compare it to that because that's exactly what that's like. It's a bunch of garbage.
There's nobody inside the store, obviously, because we don't have dining. We only have takeout. There was nobody in the store, and I'm only getting a ticket because my doors are open. Can you just please repeat that sentence why I'm getting a violation? It's because I'm operating in a red zone with, what is that?
In a red zone, you're only supposed to do pickup and delivery at the door. Everything is spelled out here in the summons.
But I'm doing pickup and delivery. When the guy walked in, I told him to stop outside. That was not good enough.
Furthermore, who cares if the guy comes inside to pick up his food? Again, folks, those of you, and I got a big, big, long email last night from somebody that supposedly is conservative, that doesn't like my stance on COVID masks and so on, doesn't think that I look at both sides of the equation correctly, which, by the way, I feel like I'm pretty reasonable and look at both sides pretty well. But when we've got literally businesses and examples like this, where there's a complete overstepping of the bounds of government and an overreach of government, telling a particular restaurateur they cannot have the door open to let fresh air in, and that somehow violates what they've got going on in New York City, folks, this is crap. I don't care what side of this you're on. If you're against this particular gentleman and you're on the side of government and say he shouldn't have his door open, you're a sick and twisted individual. That's all I'm going to say. And you are scared to death of your own shadow and won't go out in public most likely because you're fearful you might get COVID and die, which, by the way, is the fault of the news media that anybody even feels that way. Folks, go look at the data. I got accused last night of not looking at the data correctly. Go look at the data. Tell me who's dying, who has died, who's in the hospital, who's recovered, and go on down the line and then tell me that I'm wrong in my assumptions of COVID. COVID is a virus that affects those that are elderly and or have not comorbidities, that's after you die, but they've got a pre-existing condition. That's what this virus attacks. If you are a healthy individual, your chances of dying from COVID, and I will stand by this until I go to the grave, your chances of dying from COVID are less than that of dying in a car accident if you're a healthy individual. And by the way, the data supports what I just said. This whole COVID thing with government has gotten so out of hand. And if there's anybody out there that believes they're doing the right thing, folks, I'm sorry. We are going to have a vast disagreement because, no, I don't believe what the government is doing is accurate and or helping the public. I can't even begin to read you the email that I got last night because it's so lengthy that I would have to take the rest of the show to go through it point by point and basically go against everything that was sent to me. By the way, I appreciate you listening. I appreciate all of you and the letters and books and things that you write and send to me. I read all of them, and I did with this one as well. But it's extremely hard for me in the limited amount of time that I have outside of this show to sit down and write another book back dispelling everything that gets written to me. I'll do that on air instead, which is what I'm doing now. The reality, folks, is, and I'm going to continue to say this, go look at the data and then tell me the science that we have is correct. The reality is the science that we're being shoved down our throats right now, that's getting shoved down our throats, I should say, by the likes of the folks that are basically guiding Governor Polis. Folks, it's wrong science. It's not accurate. The data doesn't support it. The data doesn't support the shutdowns. The WHO even came out this week and said the lockdowns aren't necessary. They don't help. In fact, they hurt. They don't help. There's been countless studies done on both sides of the fence on the mask wearing. Does it help? Does it not help? You know what? What we really need to be telling people is if you want to wear a mask, go for it. But if somebody around you doesn't, that's their prerogative. And don't give me this nonsense about how our constitutional rights go away because we've got a virus. That's not true either. I could go down the list of some of the things that have been sent my way when it comes to COVID from said, you know, quote-unquote conservatives that frankly are wrong. And you as a conservative are not looking at it correctly. Enough said. We'll move on. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next. If you want to buy a new car, new truck, it is the place to go. And again, as I said earlier, they will buy your late model sports car, truck, whatever it happens to be. They'll write you a check for it on the spot. Or if you want to trade that car in, they'll do that as well. Or if you just want to buy a car, you name it, they'll take care of it. Car, truck, SUV, you name it, they've got it, new or used. Pure 4 Chevrolet in Fort Lupton. It's purefirstchevrolet.com or call 303-659-8311.
My first name is Steve. And I began going to Pure Foy in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I bought 5 cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small-town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town. But they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh, it's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Folks, Enchanted Kitchens, if you want that kitchen done by Christmas and you want to be able to enjoy it, have fun, celebrate inside of it, do Christmas dinner. By the way, you can't get Thanksgiving dinner done yet in your new kitchen because there's no time, but you could do Christmas. You got to get in though this week. You're running out of time, folks. If you wait until next week, chances are it's not going to get done because of the time frame it takes just to get cabinets, counters, sinks, plumbing fixtures, the tradesmen in there, all of that. You're going to have to give them some time. Go to Enchanted Kitchens, find them at klzradio.com or 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joining us this week again, as she does on Wednesdays, is Olivia Perez Cubas, director at Winning for Women. Make sure I get that all out in one sentence here, Olivia. Welcome. How are you this week?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing very well. We are winding things down, as you know, heading into the election. What do we got? 15, I haven't counted. Is it 15 days, Charlie? Is that where we're at right now? Or Olivia, you probably know.
Yeah.
15 days.
In the final stretch.
Not too many days left. In fact, before the election, we'll probably only talk to you maybe two times at most, and then we'll be doing a recap of what actually happened. 13 days until election. So we're only going to talk to you once or twice before the actual election, Olivia. Where are we at when it comes to getting some of our great conservative candidates, in this case, women, elected?
Yeah, we're doing really well so far. As I've mentioned before, a record number of Republican women are running for office, have gotten out of their primaries, and now on the ballot come November. So we're really proud of that. I think a lot of progress was made in a very short time. We've come a long way since kind of everyone, the siren was rung after 2018, and only 13 Republican women are currently in the House, two of which announced they were retired. So really, we're looking at only 11.
Wow.
And in a short time, we've made significant gains that we hope to keep building off of. And to your point about, you know, kind of assessing what happened this election and where we go from here, I think what we're doing currently is just kind of building a foundation for what the party can and should be doing more of going forward.
We've got some key races, even in Colorado and the surrounding states, one of them being Lauren Boebert, who I know that you guys are supporting as well. How's Lauren's campaign doing for all of us in Colorado that could help her? You know, what is it we in Colorado could be doing to help her get over this hump and win this election?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to learn more about her, you can go to winningforwomen.com, and you can kind of take the steps there to give directly to her campaign. Any little bit matters, especially in the final stretch here. Or you can give directly to her campaign, either works. But I think kind of just helping her get the message out, if you want to volunteer, door knocking, phone banking, any little bit helps.
Okay, and I know also so real quick, backing up, everybody listening,
yes.
You can go to winningforwomen.com, winningforwomen.com, click on the candidate link that's right there on the homepage, and it'll take you to all the different candidates that you guys are endorsing and helping to win. And what I was going to get at there, Olivia, is in general, there's a lot of these ladies that are running that we could help, and it doesn't matter if they're in Colorado or not. There's ways to help these women, you know, get over the hump. And by the way, these are not just women, folks. These are conservative women that have our same values that are winning to try to help take this country back.
Absolutely. You have small business owners. You have state representatives. We've got a former reporter. He's now on the other side of things. They kind of run the gamut in terms of what they bring to the table. And I think, you know, depending on their district, the president could be helpful or not. But certainly they could use your help in terms of helping getting out the vote. If you can contribute, please do so. Phone banking, you name it. The final stretch, all hands on deck.
Yeah, and we've got, and to what you just said, Olivia, there's all sorts of things that we all can do. And I just want to make sure that I mention this to everybody that's listening. I would have to go through and count the candidates, but you guys have a number of ladies, conservative ladies, that are running. In fact, every time I go and look at your website, there's been a few more that have added. You guys are doing fabulous, and there's a ton there that we can learn about and also help get elected.
Yeah, and I think it really speaks to the number, kind of to my point earlier, we saw so few Republican women in Congress, and it just didn't reflect reality because there's no shortage of qualified Republican women. But, you know, why weren't they A, running, and then once they decided to run, not make it out of their primaries? And we really flipped the script this cycle. And to your point, there are so many across the country, so many different districts, so many different backgrounds, businesswomen, doctors, which is more important than ever, young.
Right.
I mean, truly, they are so diverse. But the one thing I think that really unites them is they are all qualified and conservative and want to go to Congress to work for you.
And some of these folks, and by the way, those of you listening, some of these ladies that are actually on the website, we've actually interviewed, even though they're not in Colorado, we have still interviewed them, try to help get them recognized as much as possible. Olivia, again, the way I look at it is we need as many R's in the House and as many R's in the Senate as we possibly can. And that doesn't make any, to me, that doesn't, I want President Trump to win, don't get me wrong. But regardless of that, we need as many R's in those other two areas of government as we possibly can get.
Yeah, and I mean, now you're hearing the left talk about things like court packing.
That's right.
You've been hearing them talk about socialism, a government takeover of our healthcare system, the Green New Deal. I mean, these are policies that would be bad for the country. And the best way to kind of counteract those is to make sure that we get as many Republicans in Congress as we can possibly get.
Well said. I also know last week we talked a little bit about how, you know, even if there's folks out there listening right now, ladies especially that are listening that would like to somehow get involved, they'd like to throw their hat in the ring. There's a lot of things preparatorially speaking. I don't know if that's the exact word I want to use, but there's things they need to prep for. Let's say it that way. And there's things they need to be doing now, even if they want to run, say, next round of elections. And there's things that you guys could be helping them with along those lines, and they just need to go to the website and get things started, correct?
That would be awesome. Yeah, we have our info email up there. Reach out. We'll get back in touch, get to learn a little bit more about you, why you want to run, why you're qualified. But also kind of pinpointing, you know, Elise Stefanik always says, the list of names who you send your Christmas card to, you got to reach out to every single one of those people, tell them why you're running, tell them why they should support you. So just kind of building a network of folks who are going to help you, a grassroots army, if you will, who are going to help you fundraise, support you from the get-go, and start kind of building momentum should you decide you want to run.
And I know I want to come back, circle back around to Lauren Boebert, because I know here in Colorado that she still has, I mean, until the, as they say, the fat lady sings on election day, Olivia, we don't know where we stand on these things. Polling is not always accurate. I know Lauren still has got some folks to win over. We still need to get that election, you know, done. And what I'm trying to get at is none of these races are a done deal until election day. We've got to help these ladies get over that hump and be elected.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lessons learned from 2016 is how wrong polling was.
Yeah.
So it is not over, to your point, until the fat lady sings. But also, most Republicans really don't go out and vote until Election Day. So you might be seeing some numbers that look discouraging, but we are 2 weeks is a long way to go.
Well, and I appreciate what you just said a moment
matters.
Ago. And I think that's really important. We shouldn't get discouraged and not vote for someone or just stay home and not vote at all because we feel like, oh, it isn't going to matter anyways. No, 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 folks. It's just the opposite. If we see that, you know, polling in a particular area looks like somebody might be down some, all the more reason we need to go out and support them and get as many other people on the bandwagon as possible.
That's exactly right. To my point earlier, you should vote, but also knock on doors, make phone calls, get the word out, because other people might think that their vote doesn't matter, but it does. I'm from Florida, so I know more than anybody.
Yes.
Every vote matters.
Yes, well said. You know, the other thing, Olivia, and I know you touched on this a moment ago when you talk about all the different, you know, backgrounds and you know, ethnicities that you guys have got as far as all of your different candidates. And as I go through and I scroll through the list, you, let's just say this. You are a lot more diverse with the candidates that you've got running than I see on the left.
That does not surprise me. Look, I think the left historically has done a pretty good job in terms of they launched Emily's List. That did great things for women on that side. And we kind of lagged behind, but, you know, we've made significant gains. You have Stephanie Bice in Oklahoma, who is Iranian-American by heritage, a state senator there, done amazing things. Then you got Marionette Miller-Meeks, who is a doctor, which is more prevalent than ever, given the coronavirus. You've got Maria Salazar down in Florida, who's Cuban-American, running against socialism. I mean, we really run the gamut, and I think it speaks to, you know, the long-term survival of this party depends on making sure we are talking and appealing to everyone that we possibly can. And part of that is making sure we elect more qualified women.
And I agree. And again, we've talked about this for numerous weeks now. It's why you come on with us each and every week, A, not only to highlight what we've got going in Colorado with Lauren Boebert, but to really highlight this in general that, you know, we need, and I'm trying to do it in this way and say we need more qualified candidates across the board running for office. In this case, with you guys at Winning for Women, yes, it's ladies that we want to get elected. But let's face it, Olivia, we need more good, solid conservative candidates that we can get elected across the board. You just happen to be focusing on the lady part of that.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this. We don't endorse people. We don't endorse women just because they're women, right? I think that would be an insult to women everywhere. Certainly not enough to qualify you. What we do is we endorse the person who is the most qualified for her district or her state. And if she happens to be a woman, fabulous. And we go in and we do what we can do to make sure that she's not out-resourced by the left, but that they're not attacking her and she is in a shortage of funds, you name it. If the media goes after her, you got people defending her, highlighting her actual record. We just want to make sure that when it comes to qualified women, that there is a group there who can go in and support them. But it is certainly only the most qualified who gets an endorsement from us.
When I look at some of the, not some of, but when I look at all of the profiles of the ladies that you guys have endorsed and that are now running for office, and granted, I don't know these people on an individual basis. Probably the only one I know and have ever talked to personally is Lauren herself, but and other than some of the ones that we've actually interviewed. Although I will tell you this, Olivia, some of them have some really, really fabulous ads, and some of the things that they've done have actually gone viral. And when you look at that, you think, how could you vote for the other side after watching even some of the ads some of these ladies have? Nonetheless, looking at their profile.
Yeah, absolutely. And one comes to mind who, you know, she obviously, she's got an uphill battle, but Kim Klasick in Baltimore, running against all odds to kind of say, no, the left has been your preferred party for decades, and what do they have to show you? Like, give Republicans a chance, appeal with a conservative message. It resonates to more people than I think more people realize that the conservative values really appeal to them and would make a difference and improve their lives and their family lives more than the alternative. And it's really about just getting that message out there and making sure that the messenger is doing a good job to communicate that and to make sure that they resonate.
I agree. And again, as we start to wind things down, we're getting close to 13 days left. Things are really getting close. There's a debate tomorrow night. A question for you, Olivia. Do you feel like what's been going on with, you know, the whole Biden campaign and the Trump campaign, and I know those two can kind of go, you know, back and forth which rightfully so they should be. But when we start talking about the left and some of the things that are going on with the Biden campaign and Hunter Biden and all those different things, is that helping or hurting some of the candidates that we're talking about?
Yeah, I think it depends on their district. Some districts are redder than others, right? So in some places, the president is going to be a net value, and in others, he's not. I think it's so important that each of these candidates who's running down ballot just has a strong brand, is authentic, is getting that message out, and is running on, you know, when they agree with their with the president, they say so, and they embrace that and congratulate him. But when they disagree, because it will hurt their district or their state, they are free to disagree, mm-hmm. because it's in the interest of the people that they represent. So it's just making sure that these candidates are kind of running on their brand and what they're going to go to Washington to do and how that's not going to change regardless of circumstances.
Well said. Again, we enjoy always having you on, Olivia. You're a great guest. We've got a few more weeks or a few more days, not even weeks, a few more days left until the election. Olivia Perez-Cubas is with us. Again, it's Winning for Women. It's winningforwomen.com. Olivia, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, and we're getting things wound down. We're not that far away.
I know. Final stretch. Thanks for having
me. You're very welcome, Olivia. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. And again, folks, it's Winning for Women. Go check it out. It's a great website, and there's lots of ladies there that you can actually learn about, including our very own Lauren Boebert. Bruce Simmons is up next, folks. He wants to help you out with all of your reverse mortgage needs, and it's really simple. One phone call. He'll walk you through the whole process. It's as simple as that. Go to klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your house without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
The Biden campaign hasn't denied. In fact, as Miranda Devine reported, the Biden campaign confirmed to Politico an informal meeting may have happened. You remember Joe Biden denied knowing anything about his son's business dealings.
Oh, he's crooked.
I don't know how Joe Biden can answer this.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. I do appreciate it very much. So, the Peanuts cartoon, which most of us have grown up with, at least I know I have, and a lot of other folks have as well. It's been airing on air for free since 1965. That will end in 2020. The Peanuts specials will not be airing on TV for free. You will have to have a subscription, I believe, to Apple TV Plus to be able to actually stream those shows if you so desire to watch the Peanuts. I know most of us grew up watching them, and it's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown's Christmas, all of those that I know a lot of us grew up with. And I'll be honest, I haven't watched one for a while now, but I know a lot of other folks still do. And you will have to listen to the teacher in the background that no one can ever understand. Wah, 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 wah. You'll have to listen to that teacher. I think it's a her, by the way. You'll have to listen to her on Apple TV Plus. So, like it or not, that's the decision. And by the way, I don't know exactly why that decision was made. I don't know whether it's a matter of ratings. Charlie says money. Charlie thinks that they'll actually make money on this most likely, so they're taking it away from the free side over to the revenue-generating side, which they think they'll make more money with. And Charlie's probably right. So far, when it comes to these things, he typically is. All right, one other thing I wanted to cover here in this hour before we get into the third hour is you are going to see some things reported from the left, and I will be shocked if this topic doesn't come up in tomorrow night's debate, because I'm sure it will. In fact, I guarantee you it will. That is, somebody did some digging in Trump's tax records, which, by the way, we've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. Whoever has the tax records, it's illegal for them to have them. Somebody released these tax records illegally, if in fact they are the exact tax records that have actually been filed. Keep in mind, folks, there can always be more than one copy of a particular tax record, and the tax record that these folks may have may not even be the final record. And what I mean by that is there can be things that can be done after the fact when it comes to adjustments that are made, you know, a change on that particular tax return, depending upon filings and different things that happen and so on and so forth. Audits can change those things. You may have to go back and actually make an adjustment or change to the tax return. There's lots of things that can happen. These may not even be the actual tax returns Trump filed. In fact, I would be hard-pressed to believe that they are. Even with that, there's somebody that has been, you know, diving through these things, and somebody noticed that Trump has some bank accounts in China. Keep in mind, the Trump Organization does business worldwide. And according to the Trump International Hotel Management Company, the records show that they paid more than $180,000 in taxes to China from 2013 to 2015. That a lawyer from the Trump Organization said the company opened an account with a Chinese bank following the establishment of an office in China with the intent to explore the potential for hotel deals in Asia. Okay, keep in mind the dates I just said, 2013 to 2015. And by the way, there's nothing illegal about somebody doing business in China. Lots of companies do business in China. Like it or not, that's what they do. China is one of those quote-unquote markets and was for a long time an emerging market where companies would go in, make deals, and make money, you know, based upon what was going on in China. And when it comes to hotels and hotel management and things like that, the Trump Organization was no different. By the way, there's nothing here, folks. This, in my opinion, is one of those things that I think the left is trying to shove out there to be the quote-unquote October surprise. On the Trump side, this is a lot to do about nothing, by the way. If they think this is some sort of smoking gun, some sort of gotcha with Trump because he had some sort of a business holding or bank account in China, doesn't show anything. Trump has been as tough on China as any government official we've probably ever had, and I mean that sincerely. There's been a lot of other conservatives, Republicans, that have basically handed China the keys to the United States. Donald Trump's not one of them. There's nothing in this for Donald Trump when it comes to the dealings he's got going on in China. So please don't let anyone on the left or any news media organization come along and tell you that, yeah, you know, Trump's in bed with the Chinese. No, we already learned that they said he was in bed with the Russians, and that wasn't true. This is nothing different at all. Again, this is just another smoking gun that the left is trying to push out there. I saw this on Twitter today. This is a lot to do about nothing. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. Franktown Firearms is next. And they want to help you with all of your firearm, your Second Amendment rights, I should say, all of your firearm needs. Just go to Franktown Firearms. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Buying a gun alone doesn't make you safe. Recently, the team at Franktown Firearms has been working with a lot of beginners who just want to feel safe. Widows living alone who need to protect themselves. People with arthritis in their hands who may struggle to load or rack a handgun, depending on the model. Anyone can learn defensive shooting skills, and buying a gun is a great first step. But you need to know how to use it confidently. The team at Franktown Firearms encourages everyone to try out different guns on the range before purchasing. Right now, mention KLZ to receive a free hour on the range when you purchase a new firearm. Once you've purchased your firearm, the team at Franktown advises you to sign up for one of their basic training courses or one-on-one instruction so you can become completely comfortable with that particular gun. Free gun rentals are included with private training lessons. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe, what's up, sir?
John, when I was with Carrier Air Conditioning, part of United Technologies many years ago, I was responsible for two factories in Shanghai, China. And of course we had Chinese bank accounts.
Thank you.
Because everything you do is payable.
You communist, you, Joe.
But it's payable in yuan. I mean, so when you get it, so if we want to pay our employees, imagine if I went to Wells Fargo and tried to make out paychecks.
Yep.
Drawn in Chinese yuan. The people at Wells Fargo say, what the hell is this? When we had, by the way, the Chinese government, if you do business in China, the Chinese government is your partner. You don't have a choice. There's no such thing as 100% foreign owned. So the Chinese government owns a piece, and when you have to pay, whether it's your taxes
right.
or your share of profits, you have to write a check to the Chinese government, but you write the check in yuan. And Wells Fargo will not process a check written in Chinese yuan.
So the fact that they paid $180,000 in taxes in China, of course they'd have a bank account there.
Of course, and they paid it. They didn't pay it in U.S. dollars. They paid it in Chinese yuan.
Correct.
Y-U-A-N. And so if you're going to do business in China, you have to have a Chinese bank.
Again, I don't know about you, Joe, but to me, this, again, just is a lot to do about nothing. This is the left trying to drum up something they think might stick when there's nothing there.
No, it's less than nothing.
Breaking news, Joe. Breaking news. This is the dumbest thing ever.
Guess what? Every other Ford, General Motors.
Go down the list.
Yeah, every single company that does business in China, General Electric.
Apple
has a Chinese bank account and is paying taxes in Chinese yuan. You don't pay your Chinese taxes in U.S. dollars.
Well said. Again, a lot to do about nothing from the left. They're just trying to do a gotcha, and it's not there.
Yeah. By the way, all these people, they say, well, but how much Trump owes and how much Trump has borrowed, your tax returns don't tell you any of that.
They don't tell you any of that. That's exactly right.
When you file your tax return, you don't have to tell the IRS what's the balance on your mortgage.
Nope.
And you don't have to tell them what your house is worth.
That's right. Well said, Joe. Well said. Appreciate it. Hour 3 coming up next. If you want to join us again, Joe, feel free to do so. And again, our number 303-477-5600. We're going to come back. Tony Francois is going to join us. We're going to talk about local governments and can they force the feds to help with some of these fires. We'll come right back. Hour number 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.